好呀，啥？干嘛还是去旅行的？俺们没有出息。
My apologies for being a few minutes late. I had some meetings with people. Your Holiness, what could be done to help our TV nation open to Dharma?
다마세미사올라오야계시지말다다다마세미미사올라오돈하여지말다야
Of course, when we speak of Buddha Dharma, we're not talking about something that everybody can have interest in.
So I think for public in general or humanity in general, I feelThe human values or secular ethics, that I think is relevant. So therefore, I think media people also have, I think, equal sort of responsibility to promote these values. But then Dharma, what do you mean Dharma?
In a general sense, we can refer to everything as dharma.
Including violence. Also dharma.
Because dharma in general is defined as a phenomenon that has, that has its own characteristics and identity.
So all these negative things also, they have their own kind of that.
Its own defining characteristics.
So I agree. I think the media people, I think the, regarding promotion of human value, I think firstly, parents have, I think, special responsibility. Their children must bring in the atmosphere of compassionate kind of the family. I always telling people, the real teacher of compassion to us is our mother, not our teacher. A Dharma teacher come later. When I was, you see, very, very young, I very much appreciate about my mother's sort of affection.And I think my mother's affection, I think deep went away. I think deep in my heart, I think. But then Dharma teacher come much later, isn't it? Then second, I think the people who involve in education, like school or kindergarten, I think especially I think kindergarten,I think up to I think university, I think people who are concerned about education, I think they must, show the value of human compassion or human warm-heartedness, not through word, but through action. To student, to young student, or elder student, show oneself as a good example of good human being, warm-hearted human being, isn't it? Then media people and also religious people or business or politician or leaders, I think various people, various sort of part of human community have this common responsibility to build happier human being, happier humanity.And if humanity become more compassionate, then millions of these birds, animals, fish, I think all get, I think, benefit. We become cruel. And this poor animal, I think, 你觉得谁是干啥的？你看着的。
Of course, when human beings lack capacity for empathy, then you know the animals particularly suffer tragically.
Like that? Then next question.
What is the best way for the teachings of Buddhism and the teachings of Christianity to be practiced together?
No. There are many common things. I think the teaching of compassion, forgiveness, tolerance, contentment, self-discipline, all these, in fact, all major religious traditions, you see, teach us these are important in order to have happier life or in order to please God or Creator. These are the key things. So the same meaning, be a sensible person. Then, I think Christian, and this is one cardinal sin says to cardinal sin summary. Because you know,
yes.
But that thing was a military non the Dosha Divisitua. No more than Dosha Divisitua.
And also, if you look at the ethical teachings, for example, the concept of the cardinal seven cardinal sins, and if you relate that to the Buddhist teachings on precepts and ethics, again, we see a lot of commonalities.
And even if it was the Quran, I think the Quran emphasis the elder people should take care or concern with affection to the younger people. The younger people must show respect and serve to the elder people. And a human being should not harm all form of creatures. These are very, very good ones, isn't it? Very good. Then among the Christian practitioner, Christian monks or nuns, I think their way of life, I think very similar that of Buddhist monks, nuns. I have opportunity to visit some of these monasteries or nunnery in Europe as well as in America, mainly in Europe. Their life, the simplicity, and great devotion to their faith. I think there are many similarities. And in some cases, I think the Christian monks are more simplicity than Buddhist monk. Now modern Buddhist monk. Sometimes becoming more luxurious. So they need some discipline.
Regarding discriminating awareness of excited and lax mind, you mentioned that an excited mind is a derivative of attachment. What is a lax mind a derivative of? In general, laxity is a neutral state of mind. But it is said that a subtle form of laxity can sometimes be a virtuous state of mind as well.
That gave a logic. Gave a logic because those
For example, if someone is in a meditative state of a virtuous mental state, and then as the quality of the mental meditation sort of slides into mental laxity, so in the early stages, it's only a very subtle level of mental laxity, and those states are actually virtuous states of mind as well. In what specific way has working with Western scientists changed your views? In what specific way has working with Western scientists changed your views? One thing that I say is that I would like to with great respect state to Vasubandhu, Master Vasubandhu, that the third chapter of his Abhidhamma Kosha, A Treasure of Higher Knowledge, needs to be rewritten. When practicing shamatha, how should we correct a tendency towards sleepiness? Now, if the sleepiness is really of a quite a gross level of sleepiness, then you have to end the session.
This is serious.
And you have to walk around. And also, you know, wash your face. And also try to have a much more kind of, you know, very far view of, you know, far horizon, so that you have an expansive view. And less dinner is very helpful.
I think Buddhist monk, actually, afternoon, no solid meal. I think this is a very good tradition. And the health viewpoint also, I think, very good. So I also used to do that, practice that. Particularly in Thai, Sri Lanka, and Burma, very strict, this practice. Very good.
When we receive harm from someone, are we experiencing the result of a particular harm we gave to that particular person in the past, or are we experiencing the negative karmic result of general or various vast harmful actions?
Chile yā lēngā sāshā bā, shūgō rāna yā dribu yā chitātum bhajindrī yungmē rō.
It's actually a very difficult question. And generally, as far as the basic pattern of how positive karmic actions leads to desirable consequences and negative karmic actions leads to undesirable and harmful consequences, so far as the general pattern of that cause and effect relationship is concerned, there is a certain determinacy. However, as to the specifics of why this particular instance of harm I'm experiencing today, you know, what exactly is this result of? Which specific karmic act that I've committed in the past has given, led to this particular experience of I'm encountering? On these kind of very specific questions, it's very difficult to make the judgment. Broadly, of course, there will be a pattern. So, and generally it is said that, one will experience the consequences of karma of a similar type. So if you have engaged in a certain types of negative actions, the consequences you will experience will also be commensurate with that type of actions you have engaged in. Is it beneficial for me to make a lot of money if my motivation is to help? Is money bad?
That's very me punzo shisung doa punzo dishis chadagada drebu tarbada drebetigi di dubjigi du chodang nor shigo.
So generally speaking, in the text we read of what I refer to as the four factors of perfection. So in one set, you have So we find within this set of four perfect factors for perfection, there are two objectives. One is the spiritual practice, the spiritual attainment or dharma attainment. The other one is the fulfillment of one's desire. And with relation to these two objectives, there is the two objectives are the liberation on the one hand and fulfillment of one's material desires on the other. And with relation to these two objectives, you have two factors so spiritual practice is the factor for attainment of liberation, and acquisition of material wealth is the factor for the fulfillment of your desire. So in this idea, we see that acquisition of material wealth is seen as a condition for human perfection. We also and we also find references to a very specifically fortunate type of human birth where many important favorable conditions are present in that individual, whether it would be an excellent material resources or whether it is an excellent mental resources or power and so on. And the idea here being that these conditions, if they converge in the human being, then they can serve as a very important conditions for serving others and fulfillment of others, and in fact contributing towards the attainment of omniscience. So in itself, there is nothing wrong with wealth.
Usually I make sort of joke with Tibetan. We usually recite, we Tibetan usually recite Om Mani Padme Hum. So Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, that. When you then little bit faster And Om Mani Padme. That eventually. You know, money means jewel. So that's a Sanskrit word. Om Mani. That eventually, money. So we decide instead of Om Mani Padme Hum, but money. And I think that's very sincere because everybody is making money. So therefore, that's very sincere. money. Hello, dollar.
Your Holiness, it is such a pleasure to be in your presence. I offer you my gratitude and my love for showing us what it is possible to attain while in human form. Shantideva speaks of the virtues of renouncement and of giving up attachment. As the mother of two young children, ages 2 and 7, I'm struggling to make sense of how to approach this ideal. Would you please speak to the right view one should take with regard to one's young children and partner? Generally, whether it is on the part of a parent towards one's children or whether it is on the part of one partner towards one's companion, within the feeling of intimacy and love that one experiences, one can distinguish two dimensions or two types. One type of love, and in this context, a feeling of intimacy, can be more based upon an sort of instinctual attachment. However, there could be another form of a feeling of intimacy and love where there is a genuine recognition of the dependent nature of one's relationship, the need on your part to take care, and recognition that the well-being of the other depends upon yourself. So based upon that, one can imagine a possibility of a genuine sense of love and intimacy in such relationships. And secondly, of course, it's something that one needs to examine oneself and observe this. One could say that if the relationship is based upon a feeling of love and intimacy that is primarily permeated by attachment, then there is a degree of instability there, because that would depend very much upon the behavior and the attitudes of the other. Therefore, there's always the possibility that due to certain changes in the circumstances, that love and affection could turn into a form of hostility and so on. Whereas if the intimacy and the feeling of love is really based upon a genuine recognition of the person, the individuals that are involved, a genuine recognition of the person and his or her quality, and then that kind of love is much more stable and it has less chance of sliding into hostility and anger.
Attachment nyamu chenge ning nyawa di pang. Kare sa na nyamu chenge ning nyawa di ki nyamu chuma imbe ning nyawa yaya la gajin chiga ba. Kada attachment di ki kaso da biased ning nyawa di ki unbiased ta kachinbe ning nyawa di yaya gajdu ba. Gajin chiga ba. Ta di mea suwa.
So the kind of attachment that Shantideva is advocating to abandon in the text here is this limited, biased kind of intimacy and attachment that we normally experience.
I think as yesterday I mentioned, this is the biased, short-sightedness, ignorance. That kind of attachment eventually become hindrance of the unbiased, realistic, compassionate attitude. Therefore, first, it looks the attachment is seems beautiful, but essentially ignorant, biased, short-sighted, unrealistic, as I mentioned yesterday. So therefore, this should reduce. Then develop Kasoda, profound sort of closeness feeling or compassion, which not based on ignorance, but with Kasoda Vena, Namji, Shiru Namji, Shiru Tarasheva.
Now, accompanied with the wisdom of understanding the reality.
And unbiased, and holistic, realistic, like that.
So let's now read from Shantideva's text. So from verse 25 onwards, Shantideva is explaining the practice of how to seek physical solitude, and which would require dealing with attachment to our residence and homes and so on.
Now the result channel the Shinam Mini Jemiji Rana Dewa Dada Namshi Tenji Dan and Yur Pogam Taka Tomam Junshi Tundu Ne Jedi Namshi Jabu Midashin Chaba Meva and Jushi Ku Sasha Dagi Sung Meva Renshin Kin Yang Nansu Rana Jeji Cham Meva Namshi Dan and Never and Yur Deshin Duda ne wembala ya chi yoje mambusa ni yoba yina ya die ko nami ke ya da ga ne shin ge de chaba ji ya de yong yoba yin de chung si la so ni zi tang ge le mi ge ke shang xin lun de ba wa ma xie jiang jing men na wan nam shi du de ne rang ge lu tu zu song ne xian da ge ru gong da 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 ge lu ji ge che chan da du ni nam shin gong nim che ben du Dāgī lūnī dīnī jāng kāngī chī wādā jāng chūndu nyāndu mīnjū wā tētā pūnī jūwa wā lūnī chikbū chūngwā yā tēnshī jībē shērī dā shīkṣī sūsūn jī jūna zāwā chāndā mē chīgī dāgā dāna mā dīn bārī dāshī dāgā chāpa pāngā lūnī chikbū chūngwā yā tēnshī jībē shērī dā shīkṣī sūsūn jī jūna zāwā chāndā jīshī mē kēnā chikbū jīngu shīng chīnā tīnī jīkṣī dī dūngī kēshī mīlī na kēshī zāwā jīshī chā 在那尼巴吉松，但尼巴吉松出来，接了，但南部可是讲过什么呢？南大族呢，学过呢，其他呢，人家的，其实西北南部方，这边呢，用书人，扛着呀，他妈，今天过年冬天都，嗯，其实就是你第六天的嘛的过哒，Rocky的，Kumbuki的，第六天的嘛的过，其实都能拿书，俺们这嘛都西区的，啊哒。 没事可能说说让我有些人要过来，这里送给我，这是一种的拿手，下面捆绑没钱呢，轮的几部分呢的，我呢适当着急呢，适当的两个钱不没，除了胳膊、手上讲，两个胳膊钱不没白，第三节节前说，虽然要往就我没，特别行动当改为哪些轻重低级性，要往他们这细节吧，等你几步拿不着，好的送下。
So from verse 25 onwards, Shantideva explains the practice of how the thought processes that will enable us, that would assist us in overcoming attachment to our home and actually seeking a physical solitude, which is helpful for cultivating shamatha, calm abiding. And here he talks about the ideal places in solitude, such as empty caves and so on. And then in verse 28, he points out that it is not simply adequate to be in a place of isolation and solitude, but also one needs to have very hardly any material amenities around, because if you have more material possessions, then of course even you may be in solitude, there's still the potential for grasping, clinging and attachment and so on, and distraction eventually. And therefore Shantideva points out, not only must one be in a place of solitude, but also live a very simple life with hardly any material facilities that would attract attachment. Then he goes on to explain from verse 31 that having dealt with the attachment to home, one then needs to deal with attachment to one's...
No, 29. Sorry. 29.
No, from verse 29, he then goes on to explain how to deal with the strong attachment to one's friends and immediate circles, such as family.
No. Wrong body.
No.
One's own body.
Attachment to one's body. And then from verse 31, he explains how to deal with the strong attachment to one's friends and family and so on. And then explains how when one is born alone, and when one dies, one will die alone. And then
33.
And in
lambda dun shubanam da de nije bayin duzane ngadun nam ju khandis ta ore salam na sam khandis ki ore salam na lambda dun shubanam.
And then from verse 33 he explains what kind of mental attitude or outlook one should adopt while being in such places of solitude. And then explains that in some sense, once you have chosen to live such solitude and distance yourself from all potential objects of attachment, then in some sense it is as if you have died. You are already dead. So. And then in this manner and in such outlook, one should remain alone in solitude, in the places of solitude.
And
Shantideva then explains how to actually deal with attachment, and how attachment lies on the basis of many of the problems. So we read in 39, we read, in this and every other world, desire is the fertile parent of all conflict. Here in this world, bonds and wounds and death, and in the next, a hell is all prepared. So the point being made here is that in our quest for acquiring material possessions, we engage in all sorts of negative and destructive activity. And as a result of this, we create in the process enemies and so on, which then creates a lot of problem. Similarly, because in this quest for acquisition and the fulfillment of our desire for material things, we engage in a lot of negative actions, negative karma. Therefore, in future, one has to face the consequences of these negative actions. So in short, desire is really a source of conflict, both within this life and in future as well.
That desire, sorry, greed, sorry.
Probably greed is a better word here.
Desire, I'm going to send in to you desires, cover it.
So, for example, when we say desire, generally there can be positive forms of desire. The desire to attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings, the desire to bring about the welfare of other sentient beings, these are a constructive and positive desire. So the kind of desire that we are, Shantideva is talking about in the context here, is really more for acquisition. It's a form of a greed.
That's it.
Now from verse 40 onwards, Shantideva is particularly dealing with addressing the problem of attachment in the form of lust. And the significance for this is, firstly, in the attachment, lustful attachment, a general understanding is that all forms of attachment to all five sensory fields are present. Attachment to form, sight, smell, tactile sensations and so on. So within the attachment of lustful attachment, the all attachment to all five sensory objects are present. So that's partly one reason why lust is taken as a major object of being addressed here. Secondly, and perhaps more importantly, we need to take into account the context in which Shantideva is giving this teaching. In terms of its origination, the Shantideva's teaching, the Bodhisattva Charavatara, Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, was taught by a monk, an ordained member, himself a bhikshu, to an audience or immediate audience of ordained fellow members, monks. And in fact, there is a story of the evolution of Shantideva's teaching on Bodhicharavatara. It is said that generally in that monastic community where Shantideva was a member, he was rather known as a monk with only three concerns, basically eating, sleeping, and relieving. So he was known as someone with only three concerns, and he was seen as kind of a lazy monk. And in Tibetan expression, sometimes we refer to people of those types as Sunday, the eating demon. So it seems that there was a very, rather low opinion of Shantideva, and because the other fellow monastic members could not just arbitrarily expel him, they found a way, a solution to this problem. And because as part of the fortnightly practice, the monastic members need to participate in a confession and purification ceremony. And historically or traditionally, if the confession and purification is to take place the next day, the night before, there was a tradition for a whole night teaching to be conducted by a member of the monastery. And of course, these days, that part of the tradition has become really shrunk. And so in the confession ceremonies today, a very short sutra, disciplinary sutra, is read. But it seems, you know, originally, there was a whole night teaching being given by a member, which will then be followed the next day with the actual confession and purification ceremony. So they found a solution. What they did was they told Shantideva that it was his turn today, tonight, to give a teaching. And all the other monks wanted to test and was looking for an excuse to expel him. And this is how Shantideva is supposed to have taught Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. But the point is that we need to take into account the context in which Shantideva is giving the teaching. A monk, a fully ordained monk, speaking to his immediate audience of other fellow members, monastic members. So because of this, if the practitioner is of an opposite gender, then you have to switch the roles, and all the characteristics of women's body and so on that you find in the text has to be applied with relation to a male body, because if it is being practiced by a female practitioner, then the object of lust would be an opposite gender. So and also particularly a monastic member, a female monastic member. I think it is important to appreciate this point, because we also find similar statements in Nagarjuna's Precious Garland as well. Because otherwise, sometimes you might misunderstand the intentions of these authors. And I do remember once an American lady told me that she doesn't like Shantideva. And I said, why? And she said, well, because he disparages women. So if you don't understand the context in which the teachings were given, such misunderstandings may arise.
So Shiola Then Korang Shusi, then Chigang in the dumeshriya nige yesen tsundwa sandari didi daishin la shimya beta kompetenti yedevdi la kom mishimish tsidi goroda
dresha. And it seems that Shantideva has actually written another text before Shiksha Samuchaya Compendium of Trainings, because in Bodhicharya Avatara, Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, there is an explicit reference to that text, and where he says that you should read again and again my Compendium of Trainings. And when you look at the colophon of Shantideva's Compendium of Trainings, it seems he actually wrote that text as a kind of a notebook for himself, where he has compiled together many relevant passages from the various scriptures for his own practice. So when Shantideva finally gave the Bodhicharya Avatara, and when the reference to his compendium of trainings were found, the fellow members, the monastics, they couldn't find, nobody seems to know that such a text existed. So Shantideva was approached and asked, where is this text? So he told his fellow monks that I've written it in a Pandita's scholarly style, and the scrolls are hidden in the cracks in the rafters of his residence, the beams and the rafters.
So lupti nala gyava sungshabati jinju nala dhiva. Lupti nala dhidhi jimato medhabati jinju nala gyava dhava. Chadanga lakji ni dhan chanyansha ngani luksu jivarala dhishaya orasha.
So when you compare these two texts of Shantideva, what is more explicitly addressed and, you know, particularly explained in extensive detail in Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life cannot be found in the Compendium of Trainings. And what is... what is explained in great detail in Compendium of Trainings can be found in a much more summarized and succinct form in Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. And what is and what is not presented in great detail in Compendium of Trainings is explained in greater detail in Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. So a combination of these two, a study in conjunction of these two together, is very beneficial. And of course, such a tradition existed in the past. I was told that among the Indian classics, Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, Bodhicharya Avatara, and Dharmakirti's Pramanavatika, Exposition of Valid Cognition, and the analytic corpus of Nagarjuna's texts. These apparently, I was told that the quality of Sanskrit, literary quality of Sanskrit of these texts are of a very high standard.
The learning center Shivjimda.
So what this suggests is that the Nalanda monastery was not just a place of worship or practice, but it was also a highly advanced education center, a great center of learning.
That's some of the challenge. 제네 가다 무디부즈 나 멋있는 듯이 쓰고 가다 로빈 딕나 오늘 담아기디 아다 낭베 참아봐 대수 총리 지용 그 자가난 게 세면남샤 시부지 앞에 치면 스스로.
Also, it seems that if you look at the history of these monastic institutions in India, we see that particularly in the field of philosophy and philosophical analysis with relation to epistemology and logic and so on, there seems to have been a very fertile exchange between the Buddhists and the non-Buddhists, both in the field of philosophy, logic, and epistemology. And as a result of which, for example, a certain Buddhist master would formulate certain philosophical ideas, which will then be subject to criticism by non-Buddhist colleagues, and then which will then be in turn refuted by subsequent Buddhist masters and so on. So in this process of interchange, there seems to have a tremendous development, because there was a challenge, a constant challenge, and this challenge seems to have really given rise to a fertile exchange and development. In fact, I was told by one Indian scholar that if you look at the contributions of the Buddhist masters such as Dignag and Dharmakirti in the field of logic and epistemology, not only were they great contribution to Buddhist tradition, but in fact their contribution can be seen as a great contribution to the overall philosophical insight and philosophical understanding of India as a whole. Particularly in the field of epistemology.
Dibu nam sam chamin lang kanga tundu manzibar jibar lang yang da shushin zai yang sabar chen ju di kang lo yong su kyu bian na chao du kan ju tida ni ging ru ni yi shen min na rang wan tang ni da min la sa da kanda rubar tam sham ni tang yungur da rubar la eni jik sha da kyu ba da jik di du tai pa da dum shab ji 그 차고제세 류디파 야오 심주셔베이나 류제 레진문의 삼다나 차고제스 매듭지 따지르도와 긴르니 셴미나 라완타니 시디 이동어 때미 라완의 이동어 야마레 스타고 넘버톱에 딱 섬식이다 이동어 참마도 매듭지 따디야는 민좀 다좀 디게지고 말다 따고 간다 지 변한다 지 미샴데 소원의 가사 지지 장소 차고 신도 준 소원의 신이 간단히 미상의 풍부치기라 지 이동 다 대배 나버터고 원래 이동 차대로 지금 마도 걸어 간다 미상의 전주집에 시리스 라완다네 오늘 다도 송네 봐 민 송샤 라완다네 다음에라 저도 되지 용신네 지신양은 대민으로 강시당군배대대 벤 충무다 볼이야 신기 미기 따나야 거시 용으로 송주가 디시 되니 대사나 선의 전규 지미송 샤이 풍분 뒤통에 자고 당시 사제나 신기 살을 매도기 창원전대 견주주 루군이도 통내니 민규 양 대교 따나 로란 신도 가이 양 깨버려 주는 지민지 강을 여장 니차고 대마 여는 지민들 탈라 거를 맨느니 딱 풍부들 쓰고 하자 로이 풍부리야 자제 무슨 거 다 류코로나 처리는 드디어 차고 알지 그러다 저 신기 당을 요장 니 차고 대마 요나 지민들 달러 거버면은 요원은 지시규 세니 지구 니레니 에 상다 커주 종주는 달래 상다 미거신 커주라 주 지실가 신배정은 잠바이 내가 가원 미시버 증은 잡고 뭐인시 된된 미상 와라 뭐 dendeng nyambo mongbo nam shingbe zeng na jaba la nyabu chawar minu shi telo chawa tato shi kati mizan chame na rusib gyuwe dewa la shayin damgi shen shen che shen ju ji chir bangdu kyu kyu ni mizan mang yue ba tenye la kyu ten shu jing chababu rangi ye mizan we lu jigda sungde yare dee ta la mizan we kyaba shanda la mizan kambin dewa che Tani, yang Tani Shanti Lakashi, Rengan Tawar Dhanako. Semi Bai Renshin Ji, Shanti Kyoku Ji Mindu. Debe Sanga Yimbati, Ta Lugi, Jig Ta Shanti Jamba Da, Jig Nyamba La Soba Ji, Dinde, Shanti Chas Lava Yina, Shanti La, Shanti Jang Jang, Lu Jang Jang Liya, or Kasuri, Lu Jang 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 Yigi, Sewe Samba Sayati, Sheba Jang Jang Yungor Mato, Lu Kuro Jang Yung Yomor Mata. Semi Bai Renshin Ji, Shani Kyoku Ji Mindu. Yang Dewe Sangang Yimbati, Reda Dao Minilas. Yang Parubu, Jig Zesim, Jig Sim Changwano, Zewe Samba Yudewe, Samba Delani, Reya Yomar, Daya Yomar, Dewe Sangang Yimbati, Reda Dao Minilas. Kengshin Yudi, Sheba Min. Tumi Chudi, Jishi Cha. Mizan Renshin, Shenji, Mido Ngoza, Michi, Renyi Mizan, Ni Yimbo, Dogo Minju Ngoza Chi.
So from verse 40 onwards, the detailed thought processes of dealing with lustful attachment is explained in relation to addressing one's lust towards the physical body of one's partner, particularly in this context, one's a woman. And Shantideva explains later on that, in fact, in reality, what you have, the object of your lustful attachment, is nothing but a skeleton that has been joined together with various kind of internal organs and then covered with a smooth skin across its surface. So Shantideva goes on to explain, and he analyzes the various elements of and possible objects of the lustful attachment. Is it the body? If it is so, then how is it that we are not attached towards a corpse, but a living being? And if it is the body, if it is not the body, then is it just the flesh? And then he analyzes further. And then if it is the affection, if it is the love, the if it is the mind of that individual, the heart of that individual, then Shantideva goes on to explain that in fact it is a visible, invisible phenomenon. How can you in fact even have a contact with it? So therefore it cannot be the object of your lust. So he analyzes in various manners and stages how in actual fact the object of your lust is first of all full of imperfections and impurity, and secondly, there is a tremendous element of mental projection, and also points out that this activity where the person who is lustful, who is himself an aggregation of many impure substances, is caught in this act where the person feels attached and drawn towards another similarly impure aggregation of substances. So in this manner, Shantideva goes through various stages and analyzes each and every possible dimensions of that lust and explains how one can deal with it. So with that, for example, in verse 45, he explains that how we feel a lustful is so possessive towards his or her partner to the point that sometimes even an uninvited glance of another person sort of creates a sense of possessiveness. However, that same object at one day may be left at the mercy of animals and so on. So similarly in verse 48, he explains how you know, we do not feel attached towards a skeleton. So it seems that the skeleton needs to be covered by a skin. So it is towards a skeleton that is covered by skin we seems to feel lustful towards. And in verse 53, he explains, we read that the reason is you are full of impure substances yourself and wallow in it constantly, and it is indeed just impure substances that you desire, and therefore long for others a sack of impurity. So in this manner, Shantideva analyzes each and every possible aspect of one's lustful attachment, and then demonstrates how, in some sense, it is an irrational act.
So surely, Junjunali, Kada Tusum Minyamutayaji, Chirab Sunshachi, the Sharang Yamutayadi, Savelu Golia, Sundujasum, Timu Minyamutayadi, Shiru Livinansum, Da, Dashang Yamutayadi, and the Samding Lu, and the Kazo, Namdog, Dan Yambolia, Kazo, that Kazo, the Chagan Namdog.
So what we find in Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life is an extensive explanation of the specific antidotes against the three poisons of the mind. The specific antidotes for the poison of anger and hatred is explained in the chapter on forbearance, which is the sixth chapter, a chapter on patience, where he explains in great detail how to apply antidotes against anger and hatred. In the chapter 9, the chapter on wisdom, he explains in great detail how to apply the antidote against ignorance and delusion. And in this chapter, chapter 8, as part of his discussion on how to still your mind from potential distractions to external objects, within that context of the practice of isolating one's mind from distractions, Shantideva explains in great detail the application of antidote against attachment.
Chazanga, Dajada, Shedan, Tinzin, DJ in the Sane, Ko Migu Chiravachi, Sutuvichi, the Shembetane, any, Ko the Chapatea, Stawantea, Induzia, Dionigdoa, Ningzi Sabaina, Mother Wolosudoa, Chisan, Yu Chiravachi Gana, Gemerce, and a Taya Vesenje, Gana, Sam Dani, Ta, Randa, or Ginzi the Chedi.
In fact, if you examine your own experience and you can observe that there is a phenomenological difference between the way you experience when you experience emotions, afflictive emotions like anger, attachment and delusions on the one hand, and genuine compassion on the other. It seems that when you have, say, for example, anger or hatred or strong attachment, in these instances, there seems to be an exaggerated view of the object of your emotion, whether it is anger or attachment. So there's this exaggeration involved. And similarly, these emotions, negative emotions like anger and attachment, seems to require a solidification of the object, some kind of concrete, tangible objects. For example, when you feel angry, you are angry towards this person, he or that guy. So you need some kind of real concrete handle to latch on. Similarly, when you feel strong attachment towards someone, there is a very specificity to that object of your attachment. I don't know whether one could talk about an individual, unless he or she is completely mad, about being angry towards the entire samsaric world of three realms. That doesn't seem to make sense. Whereas when you have the contrary emotions, like genuine compassion, that seems to be more a kind of generalized. The compassion, the arising of compassion, doesn't seem to require a specific concrete object, whereas the arising of these negative emotions seems to require something solid as your target. Because of this, when you analyze them in the manner in which Shantideva does, for example, when you feel deeply hateful towards an individual, and if you analyze that by saying, now what exactly is the object of my anger here? Is it the person? Is it the act? Is it what he does? Or is it his mind? Then this very act of analyzing or dissecting that emotion seems to have the effect to kind of, you know, dissipate the emotion. Similarly, when you analyze a strong attachment towards an individual, you know, towards someone, if you analyze in the way Shantideva does, is it the shape of the person that you are attached to, lustful, or is it the appearance, physical appearance, so on, then this very act of, seems to have an immediate effect of distancing, you know, kind of putting in question to the intensity of that emotion. And this is why these kind of practices are explained.
Oh, yeah. Sāsu mīsāng kī gāba kēdī rēngbār mīndi nā kāng lē tēnī chūngā yī lū lē chītā kio rēng tē. Kēdī mīsāng chā mē nā mīsāng shīng lē chūng jū jīn tē yī sābīn tē kēba shēng jū jī jī fāng tū kū. Mīsāng lē chūng mīsāng shīng chūng wā chūng jū mī shī lā mīsāng mā gui rāng shīng lū mīsāng jē bā dē bā chē. Kūñī kūñī rāng nī mīsāng lā mī mī chē bā mā sē jī mīsāng jē bā mīsāng lā kāng bē shāng yāng dē bā chē. Lu Korangi, Kazuza, Celerdi, Lu Soyati Mare. Lu Soyaja Sadung Guyare. Sadung Cheni, Tama, Chita, Lu Jul Guyare, Nimadidi, any Shinji Chache. Shinji Lu Nane Chabar Mother, Shinji Lu Chamarva. Madam Yu Shinji, Sawar Zivorota, Sawar Zia, Sawadi, Zasham to say Lu Korangi, Sayundua. Sayanga. 제가 드린데 류코레 그 모르도 때 류코랑 게 다 가서 그래. 에 모르서 그래. 그래 두 모 체레 두 시비는 미장에 밤에 쿠자 미장원 찍래 두피 두베 류 류코라 서동구 소교하래 사와도 또 지선배 이동 제가 이나야 야 캐나리 야 세체 짝자로 걸어 세차니 마지근 때문에 뒤태기기 입다 카도다 직진들이다 이동하는 차를 그냥 지금 예체 그냥 그리 되는 지금 몇십 명 알지도 와. 네 고반 얼마를 저주자네 나고 미르미르 비즈니 생기는 줄도 아직 채. 다 류코레 가서 우리 랭겐 놓고 아니 류그 탕 가서 우리 류그 나 서동 얘기 바이 통일로 바 체체. 탕마 탕맨 나라 게 니모 니맨 나라 게체. 아니 류그 레가로 약시 제베 걸리나 아니 샤와드 지워디 코라 따다 하시면 되겠지. 다 Lug lagger the Yara Majushi, any shaman the Jewati here. Do you my Himalay or Yada? I'll call it Gurri Lata, Gurri Gamta, Kagate. That did Lug Tungoroko in Yara Majunda. So Lug for Yaw Tungo lagger of the college, the chair on the Sumba, you know, and the Tata. Check it out. So did Lug Kore? Kore Langan did it. Maria. 난 나는 남으로 시비에 토하네. 인간 상담 먹고 싶지 않은 분들, 이거 그렇게 늦춰야 돼요. 제가 돼요. 사실은 인도산에 미산에 중, 미산신의 중앙인데 봐. 미산의 사병이 뛰어야 되네. 아니, 미산을 구발하다가 뚱뚱해. 나는 미산의 수분을 지지했어. 그 순간에 알아요. 또 상담은, 그 간다, 차 탐지하는 이동 통대에게 롯텔라, 드루자에게 18배로.
So Shantideva then goes on to explain further, analyze further the actual origin and the nature and the functions of the human body, and explains how, in terms of its causes, the body has arisen from impure substances, which is the coming together of the regenerated fluids. So that is the original cause of the human body, and in terms of its function, the body is in a sense kind of a machine which enables the survival of the person by means of digesting the nourishment, the food and so on, and then by discriminating between the refined part of it which is required for the energy and then the unrefined part which are then relieved. So when the body functions or go very normally, then the functions for relieving also operates very smoothly, and that's when the body is functioning at its best. And sometimes we all know when the body functions, the engine doesn't work well, then sometimes you have all sorts of problems. The unrefined bits that are expelled sometimes either becomes too watery or too dry, and this is when the body is not functioning properly. So in itself, body is this organic mechanism that really allows the survival by means of this mechanism of allowing the digestion, taking in food and nourishment, and digesting the refined parts and relieving the unrefined parts. So, of course, we all, feel a kind of, repulsive towards things that are dirty and so on. But in actual fact, and these, what we consider to be filth and dirty, really is produced within our body. It's not, it just doesn't come from outside. It is something that is produced within our body and by our body. So, of course, when you relate to that body with a human consciousness, embodied consciousness, then of course one can talk about the various qualities of the individual being and so on and so forth. But in body in itself really is nothing but this biological mechanism that provides this, that performs this function. So this kind of analysis, it can be very effective, especially towards those individuals who may be really caught in a very extreme, single-pointed, lustful state of mind, then that this kind of analysis can really have a dampening effect to reducing that kind of strong, intense, sort of one-pointed, lustful attachment.
Chicken, the jar, someone never do good marriage, in it, the marble toss, so soon to Sundo.
In fact, Nagarjuna explains, after having dealt with the question of how to deal with strong lustful attachment, in conclusion, Nagarjuna states that, if an individual engages in this kind of meditation and thought processes, of course, the individual may not totally remove and get rid of any form of lust or attachment, but at least it will assist individual to reduce the intensity that can lead to otherwise destructive consequences.
Oh yeah, that is what the kadimizan dinra musum juja tesom na tuju da do phoe lu mizan shan ya ta war ki khang le pa be kha che na ji bo chen bo jin ju war she yan chi de tin ni la chi xin ga wa jie wan ju lu le bu be chi ten ya zan den
双眼先问,先去提及,先到了,这一层的差过去。改的人心,只能人了马上人民能。今天全面塞巴的集体到了提醒归,人家提醒站在呢,旅人对你进行中,先去提醒到了这一层的差过去。改的扎身人话堂,说着提及,当去提,可别旅人心里,这不你一个你呢,让了那个参选都,等待集体去做去。 打了孟北白白一月的三级工作处如果不是同年的土地中的引用呢月的日工可以借为同创立土地拉杆改的民商举报这样人民办的民意都这军准备下场的念了说个那个就基本那边民意呗打了朋友的地址写 那说白也切多年给人家的继续着人家也不可惜你你人来就用多的轻度往的前面了罗当的话你要往去可惜其实你梦堂人都算了都没人不面对心不面能去过了了解通明就是打了偏准那梦白抗得极度装白羊他把他把全面的先进来就弄给带老了让给绿出过大家不用了心中根本不不不中得了绿白两把大 穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着穿着 Tendenamla telos, Nimi Manglo, no chung, the Shindan Jembe Chuda, Zan and Kamba Servicing. Chugi Duna, Megum, Nusung Kang, Tedon, Tanjo Pusum Yagandi, Legend Nava, Namki Chuck. Devang Ever, Jigushing, Nyala Sobo, Tunjava, Chambu Miji, Tugun, to Tubit, Section Kang, Tay, Chavan, Chasan, Chigi Sanji, Nindumna, Dandachanju, Jabba, Dumichel, Chanju, Me, Nasso, Dumasam Chan, Dabanamla, Chandani. Told them that the answer of Dunham Gigan, Ben Mikur, Tedan Dura, Joshi, Rambalan, Kawaki, Sir, the new Gigan was Shivan, Shivan Najanano, Gandan Dara, Sandy Gis, Yambo, Kansa Yanga, Dami Shivan, or Yoba, Shan, Pendrin, Simpson, Chapel Che, Kandon, Shinku, Kanda, Tisi, Dennis, Yonzin, Sue, Dungan, Bang, Tama Meba, Payan, Ranga, Chamber, Kanda Yan, Demeda,
Chalk
So Shantideva then goes on to explain further the some other aspects of the thought processes, meditation, which could again help deal with one's intensity of lustful attachment. And then so from verse 79, having then dealt with the question of the lustful attachment, he then addresses the question of attachment towards material possessions and how again pursuit of material possessions
out of strong attachment leads to all sorts of complications and problems and the futility of such a pursuit. And then from verse 85, he explains, thus having developed a sense of revulsion towards the pursuit of sensual desires, one should develop a sense of joy towards solitude and seek the tranquility of a peaceful wilderness where which is free of potential distractions and so on. And then, so this concludes at verse 89, where we read, reflecting in such ways as these upon the excellence of solitude, pacify completely all discursiveness and cultivate the mind of bodhicitta. So with up to this, what Shantideva has done in this chapter is to really explain the various practices and methods to deal with distractions that can lead to afflictive emotions. And these distractions are obstacles not only to attainment of calm abiding, a single pointedness of mind, but also these distractions which are grounded upon fluctuating emotions towards other sentient beings also are obstacles to the attainment or cultivation of bodhicitta, particularly by means of equalizing and exchanging self and others. So the practices that deal with overcoming lustful attachment and attachment to material possessions and so on are not just a question of cultivating a kind of an isolated peaceful state of mind, but also preparing the ground for eventual cultivation of bodhicitta, where one will be able to then relate to all other sentient beings in an equal and non-differentiated manner.
Oh yeah. That's the name of
So from verse 90 onwards, then the actual practice of mind training begins.
So from the verse 90 onwards, the actual practice of mind training begins, and the first two stanzas explain the practice of equalizing self and others. And here the key point being made is that insofar as the desire to seek happiness and overcome suffering is concerned, oneself and others are fundamentally equal. So here we read, strive at first to meditate upon the sameness of yourself and others. In joy and sorrow, all are equal. Thus be guardian of all as of yourself. And Shantideva then gives an analogy here. He says that just as the various parts of the body, the arms, the legs, and so on, are all, although they may be different, separate parts of the body, but because they are all part of the one and the same body, Therefore, each of these needs to be protected. So we read, the hand and other limbs are many and distinct, but all are one, one body to be kept and guarded. Likewise, different beings in their joys and sorrows are like me, all one in wanting happiness.
So, with relation to training one's mind and cultivating the awakening mind, the bodhicitta, they evolved based upon scriptures, the sutras. They evolved two main traditions or methods of training the mind. One is the 7-point cause and effect method, which is also based upon certain scriptures, and the other one is the method of exchanging and equalizing self and others, equalizing and exchanging self and others. And this too has its sources in the sutras. But in terms of the commentarial treatises, Nagarjuna's Precious Garland is one of the fundamental texts, original text for the practice of this particular approach of cultivating bodhicitta. And there is also a Nagarjuna a text that is attributed to Nagarjuna, referred to as Bodhicitta Vivarana, a commentary to the Buddha, commentary to the awakening mind. Although some scholars question the attribution of this text to Nagarjuna on the grounds that if this is truly Nagarjuna's work, then it should have been cited by many of the great commentators such as Chandrakirti and Bhava Viveka and so on. But this particular text by attributed to Nagarjuna has not been cited. Therefore, some people question the attribution of this text to Nagarjuna. However, Tsongkhapa accepts the validity of this attribution and takes this and other Tibetan masters as well. So in this text, a commentary to the awakening mind, there are also explicit references to the practice of equalizing and exchanging self and others. And particularly in Ratnavali, the Precious Garland, there are passages very clear. For example, there's a couple of stanzas, which then culminates in the well-known lines, may the negative karma of all beings ripen upon me. All the essential elements of the seven-point cause and effect method are present, not vice versa. So in the approach of the seven-point cause and effect method, the key elements of the exchanging and equalizing is not present. So what we see here is that these are in fact two different methods for cultivating a crucial element of the practice of awakening mind, and in actual fact, the practice of compassion. Because when we define compassion, compassion is a state of mind that aspires, that wishes the other sentient beings to be free of suffering. So here, within the compassion, there are two key elements. One is the wish that other sentient beings be free from suffering. So this the two key elements are this feeling of empathy towards other sentient beings, to the point that one cherishes the well-being of others. So there is a strong sense of connectedness and a sense of closeness to other sentient beings, and that's one element. The second element is some degree of understanding of the suffering. So with respect to having an understanding of suffering, we spoke about how this can be cultivated, particularly by reflecting upon the teachings of the Four Noble Truths and especially the teachings on the suffering. And the other element, important element, is this sense of intimate, sense of closeness, and which culminates in a feeling of cherishing of others' well-being. And so one can see that the seven-point cause and effect method and the method of equalizing and exchanging self and others are in actual fact two different methods of cultivating this sense of intimacy and sense of closeness towards other sentient beings. So therefore the sense of closeness and the thought of cherishing other sentient beings that arises from the practice of equalizing and exchanging self and others is more powerful and then compared to the seven-point approach. And this feeling of sense of connectedness and empathy and strong sense of empathy and closeness, when conjoined with understandings of others, then give rise to compassion, true compassion. And compassion then leads to a sense of responsibility towards other sentient beings, which is referred to as the extraordinary attitude. And this extraordinary attitude, sense of responsibility, will then eventually lead to the realization of bodhicitta, the awakening mind, aspiration to attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings.
Tade, Tashanyamba. Tene, Ranjinzingi Pyanda, Shenjinzingi Yandasamba. Taladene, Tashanjava, Trishiva.
So in this text, Chandadeva's text, we begin with equalizing of self and others, recognition of the fundamental equality of self and others. This is then followed by a deep reflection upon the disadvantages or demerits of self-cherishment, and then reflecting deeply upon the advantages and merits of benefits, probably is better word, advantages and benefits of cherishing the welfare of other sentient beings, which is then followed by the actual practice of the exchange of self and others. So again, another contrast between the two approaches is that in the 7-point cause and effect method, in fact the whole process begins with cultivation of equanimity, a sense of equanimity towards all beings. And there the key point of cultivating equanimity is to help level out our fluctuating emotions towards other sentient beings based upon distinctions of closeness and distance. So by leveling that kind of fluctuating emotions, we create a kind of an equality of attitude towards all sentient beings. Whereas the equality or equanimity that is described in the practice of Shantideva's text is a different kind. Here, when we speak about equalizing self and others, the equanimity towards others, equanimity is cultivated on the recognition of a deep recognition of the fundamental equality of self and others, insofar as our basic disposition to seek happiness and seek to overcome suffering is concerned. So this equanimity and described here in this Shantideva's text is different from the equanimity that is being cultivated in the context of the 7-point method. Here, equanimity is to cultivate this fundamental recognition of equality, and based upon that, then extending a sense of caring and concern towards all beings.
Shenji Dunga Nugmaris, Radani, Tinay Mindusane,
Ani ngay ini shenji dungay sekwa minuwa asin. Ta di lo yundu, di maris. So su ngay sanglo yao shtamba yina, rangi dewa di shenda dede yore. Shenda mandre war, rangi jibu da dewa, bana chayagi, chindi pinzo, chindi pinzo ki digi shashane, shenla dene yongwa yore. Chichime digi shashana ya, shenla dene yongwa yore. Bana,
So then Shantideva goes on to explain from verse 93 how there is this fundamental equality between self and others with relation to experience of suffering and happiness. He says that and shows the futility of our normal approach. He argues that if others...
First, 94.
So Shantideva argues that we must work towards the relieving of others' suffering, because just as my own suffering, others' suffering is also suffering. By virtue of the fact that it is a suffering, we must strive to relieve them. Similarly, we must help bring about others' happiness, because we seek our own happiness. And then he explains the rationale, which is that just as I myself desire happiness, so too others equally desire happiness. Just as I myself wish to avoid suffering, so too others wish to avoid suffering.
That didn't yach. This would be that 92.
And then here we go back to 92 and raise an objection. So one could say, yes, we may be equal in our desire to avoid suffering and wish for happiness, but why should I help relieve others' suffering, because others' suffering does not harm me. So here Shantideva responds by, and why should I seek to help others attain happiness, because others' happiness does not relate to me. So here Shantideva responds by pointing out that in fact our own well-being is very intimately connected with the well-being of other sentient beings. The idea, even our temporary satisfaction and temporary fulfillment of our needs, of worldly needs such as material comfort and sustenance and so on, even in all of these areas, others' role is inescapable. Similarly...
Se, ku, neme, yoje, zashi, tam, te tamjolo shende yudwa.
So if we look carefully, you know, with all the things that we desire and need in our life within this cyclic existence, such as food for such nourishment, clothes to protect us, shelter to stay, and material possessions, the amenities, the facilities, and friends, and fame, all of these are intimately connected with others. So our daily, everyday sustenance and survival is contingent upon others. Dependent upon
others.
So all the excellences, worldly excellences of this lifetime have come about on the basis of others.
Chima ngon tu tabar chebe, dui zo de chujimze. Sūrīṃ kī tāndādi shēnā nāpā shītān chāpālē dōbāshīmārē. Sā tīrē yīmā yīrī sāne, nāpā yū tēlā tēnē, nāpā kēsē yūjītā chēnē, tā tēlā nāpā kē tūyā jīgī wāne, nāpā dōmbā tēlā, ēnī sūrīṃ sīgī mādō, nāyā sāwāne mērā chīgī, nā tūyā mērā chīgī yā, nāpā dōmbī sīlā nā sūrīṃ kēsī kīmīdōvā. Sā tīrē yīrī sāne, member, Namtape, Josem Jenner, Dene, Chirum Nalinguwa. Did Holloman do Dana, Cerua, Susan, and a longitor, Dana Chicago, Boyo, Tetam Jello, Simjan Shanna, Shinji Saw, Yavia, Dana Shanna Yata, Soldier Saw, never Missia. Dana Shingi. 这个县给这个他南阳县啊，这个他县了十东县啊，这个县了两百多呀。他顶这个，他县片可是县下了顶对不对？县了，龙州县、南门嘛、苏省、阔阳省，他们叫了，这是哪个？这里面就在呢，起码我们对绿电上淘宝的确实认真，我们对绿电个淘了，农民用的也一个。原来特别爹就是这个这个夸张的多但是呢他不特别他不知道了那不是我们两个人他不知道了那不是我们两个人那不是嫌疑的洗得早的我的吃住了吧的吃住了吧的啊那个什么他不能行嫌了那个洗得早到个电影用过一辈子在呢就是这真苦但是呢他们这些没国防特别他们这些没国防特别他们这些没国防特别的就没那么久远找到这边就结果都开始了你是不是吧这是你是不是还得两台为生产的命令你是不是提给马到大西北生产的你三界的命令你是这样的吧城市什么的命令你是什么早早见到后面这些叙述给不完但两台为生产建筑国人们工人们台湾朋友都没见到你约的生产这个命令给你是什么提给不完这第二年呢南京特别就特多他个先生的成就生是这样的，他第一招你是不是这样的？让他个生前太大了，明年用不着去晓得。在这个印度上呢，这个你是什么的？通到跑送的开车，印度上呢，拿出来，我们这个国家送到。在这里面印度上呢，那个是什么东西呢？然后那个特殊的特殊说法，看对了，那让人给大概那，就那个特殊的特殊说法。在这个时候被主动说的套了招他们叫了我们都没那个局面套了招在他们叫了就是这样的电影要要求的但就是这样给让了团队要来要么是人呢让你一个外流那里送我们去谁然后他们是什么这是哪什么的吧你是不是跑着为公众给公众啊我们大话时代跟他出去的你得出去的出去的接不起了的就是接不起来的，就是在哪里呀？在三百多上面，就是接个清白吧。就是我啥都晓得，我操开个门对吧？就是的，阿爸那全部都是啥晓得，我操开个门吧。这里呢，俺让了蟠桃的银子，你走起好了吧？那军军的搞送多啊？哎呢，蟠桃三百斤，你们就过，但咋子阿什么银币都是送的咋呢？蟠桃三百斤，你们就过个样子的，我不等你蟠桃三百斤对吧？我打过了吧？那南京过来才多年多的，一些云南都等于一些得了，让了偏这个了，对吧？哎，那高点的就是些，不过面都，他这是让了偏是要嘛的，哎，那南京的也就是奇怪，面都南京让了偏是偏的多，热的呢让了偏个要的是，偏个要的印章，高冷的呀，是咋说这个样？这变成趋势东西了。在这里也没得啥呢，爬入过了公路面那样，让了偏的多呢，就咋说不走了？在这里也没得啥呢？就生产的，然后呀，看到的那原来没呢，然后才觉得什么那个特度，我都年龄，这都扛，对不啦呀？就生产的电力用过一辈子呢，就生产搞的什么通通，是他就生产的怕有下去，还能哪样个第一毒药就，第二个第一毒药就，副个第一毒药，看见没得吧？没得吧？那个特度参照了。钱夸张的这个用过来抢用你就在那就那个方面啊这样的 kyaji tāngi tūngi ji shenji lūla minūpa, tē tāng, tē tā tūngi ji tāru shenbi lūsi, tī shūgu tē, tī shi shenji tūngi ji tāla bāpa minyū yāng, tē tāng, tē tā tūngi ji tāru shenbi sāpa kās. Tindar mūshika tā sāmūsi kōyōmba yīna, eni shenji tūngi ji tōngyōndi, rāngla tūngi ji wu nāshī jīgi mīsīpa lōla jīgi dīgdō. Rā, sā tīne yīndu sāne, tā, wātā jī sūma dī. Sā sāngā tāyā rā, ngāi tūngi ji shenji ji mārī, mārī ji yīne, sāmu yā uṣi tāma yīna, rāngi jīgi tā, tīpū jāngsūngi, dādhūn sāma lō kāngla tēnsē yū tēlā, tā mīsīpa chūna, sūsū mīsīpa, jī hū rā. Yeah, do I?
So if we, you know, continue to think, really reflect deeply, we will come to recognize that it's not just our immediate requirements that are dependent upon other sentient beings, but even, you know, from the point of view of practitioner, attainment of a higher rebirth is also intimately dependent upon other sentient beings, because the key condition or cause for the attainment of higher rebirth is the practice of ethical discipline, morality, particularly of avoidance from the 10 negative actions. So how do we define an ethical action in the Buddhist context? Ethical action is defined in terms of a deliberate restraint from acts that are harmful towards other sentient beings, and not just act but immediately directly harmful, but also potentially harmful as well. So one so ethical action or morality relates to individuals who, you know, deliberately adopt a certain way of life, where one restrains from engaging in acts that are harmful or potentially harmful to other sentient beings. So here we can see that even the practice of ethical discipline is intimately connected with our interaction with other sentient beings, and therefore, so when, you know, the attainment of higher rebirth is intimately linked with others, and similarly, when you attain a higher rebirth, many of the positive qualities that aspire for, such as material resources, abundant resources, longevity, and also good health, and many of these the qualities that we aspire for, each of these are again directly related with others, other sentient beings. For example, longevity is related with one having accumulated the positive action of saving others' lives in the previous life, and also, for example, having served the sick, having nursed the sick, and providing comforting words to the bereaved, those who are in, and those who are in mental pain. And all of these actions are what contribute to a kind of a more successful and more kind of a more fortunate human existence. So if we analyze each and every of these qualities that we aspire for, they are all directly related to contribution of other sentient beings. And similarly, it is the case with attainment of liberation. The key path to the attainment of liberation is the practice of the three higher trainings. So, and within the three higher trainings and morality is really the root, the foundation, and upon which then the other to higher training, the concentration and wisdom will arise. So again, as explained before, the heart of the practice of morality is adopting a particular way of being that relates to others in a more appropriate and healthy manner. So again here, the attainment of liberation is directly related to with other sentient beings. Similarly, in the case of attainment of the omniscient
mind of the Buddhahood, state of Buddhahood. Here again, the key, one key practice of attainment of Buddhahood is compassion. The compassion that is a truly remarkable state of mind, the great compassion, it is truly remarkable state of mind which cherishes the well-being of other sentient beings more so than one's own, and which, for example, Chantakriti describes as being important at the beginning of the path, and then, you know, while on the path, and during the resultant state of the path as well. And so this compassion, great compassion, and the awakening mind, bodhicitta, that it leads to, both of these can only be cultivated in relation to other sentient beings. Then the question may be, yes, all of these attainments may be related to other sentient beings, but on the part of the other sentient beings, you know, they have no intention to help us. They have no intention of being beneficial towards us. But here, as Shantideva points out in the chapter on forbearance, patience, that it's, you know, so long as it is beneficial towards oneself, one should cherish them. It's not a question of what is the attitude, the intention on the part of that object. For example, I take good care of my watch, and I like it, and I make sure that it's not broken, and I treat it well. Not because the watch on its part has any particular feeling towards me. It has no feeling. But I, you know, for example, when I put it carefully in my pocket, the watch, so far as the watch is concerned, there is no feeling. But regardless of the whatever may be the attitude or the feeling on the part of that object, you know, because it is something that is beneficial to me, I cherish that and protect it. In the same manner, regardless of whatever may be the attitude on the part of the sentient beings, as Shantideva points out, since they are indispensable for the fulfillment of all of our aspirations, whether it is mundane or supramundane, we need to recognize that and respect and revere other sentient beings for their role and indispensability for the fulfillment of our aspirations. Therefore, and also Shantideva points out that if in order to cherish something or someone, there needs to be an intention on the part, on that part, to be beneficial to us, then this means that as we Buddhists cannot cherish the ideal of cessation, nirvana, and the true path, because cessation is a state of attainment, but there is no intention on the part of the cessation. It's a state that one aspires to. So Shantideva points out that it is not the attitude and the intention of the other side that matters, but it's more whether or not it is beneficial towards oneself that should matter, how we relate to others and sentient beings. So in this manner, Shantideva then explains how, if you deeply reflect upon this, how each and every aspect of our well-being and the fulfillment of each and every wishes that we have, whether mundane, supramundane, and so on, or pertaining to the next life or attainment of liberation, all of these cannot materialize without dependence upon other sentient beings. So if you reflect deeply upon this, you will then come to recognize that any harm that is done upon other sentient beings, any pain that other sentient beings experience, will be, you know, you will feel unbearable, because you know, this is a pain that is being experienced by beings who are indispensable for your own well-being. So in this way, one will be able to relate to the other's pain in a more empathetic manner. So we read, my pain. So Shantideva So we read, for example, in verse 92, my pain does not in fact afflict or cause discomfort to another's body. Through clinging to my eye, this suffering is mine, and being mine is very hard to bear. And other beings' pain I do not feel, and yet, because I take them for my own, their suffering is likewise hard to bear.
So nyanjö lamne dōjī, turi lamne rōbjōng lā, gāshī mē pārn tēngi wē, chāngshū sāng lā chā chā rō, sēn sū lē āgē, chāngshū sēn, tē kyū nīngshī chāmbō, chāmbā, lā sō bā dī dīgī, tā pāyīng jē dō mē pā, bē jē nē, tā mē pā jīgī pāyīng jē bā, tē chāmbā lō, bō sēn jē nē dēnē yīmbō.
So to summarize, the sentiment as expressed by Maitreya, in the prayer aspiration to Maitreya, where we read that that which averts the path to the unfortunate rebirth, that which shows the path to the higher rebirth, that which leads us to the state of free of aging and death, to the bodhicitta, to this awakening mind, I shall pay homage to. So in short, and this truly altruistic mind, the awakening mind that we all cherish and regard, revere so much, and this precious mind can only be possible by dependence upon other sentient beings. Therefore, if this awakening mind is precious, then the other sentient beings upon which it, the arising of this mind depends so much, should also be seen as precious. So what Shantideva says in the latter part is very true, that the Buddhahood that we all aspire so much is actually attained both independence upon the Buddha and also independence upon the sentient beings. So in some sense the contribution is half and half, but we revere the Buddha so much, but we do not treat the sentient beings in a similar manner. So what Shantideva says is very true. So in actual fact, in so far as their contribution to our attainment of Buddhahood is concerned, so their kindness to us or our indebtedness is concerned, and both Buddhas and the sentient beings are equal. But the difference is that when we speak of sentient beings, we are talking about beings who are caught in the cycle of suffering, beings who are devoid of a refuge, devoid of an ally, devoid of support. Whereas when we speak of Buddhas, we are talking about fully enlightened beings who are free of all limitations and negativity. So in some sense, we need to actually pay more reverence towards the sentient beings. So, and all the beneficial qualities, the benefits of awakening mind, which the Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, the first chapter, talks about, all of these benefits of bodhicitta come about entirely in dependence upon other sentient beings. So, you know, when you think from that point of view, we can come to recognize that sentient beings are truly precious and important. Of course, they are very precious, but also the sentient beings are the beings with which we fight and have conflicts with.